You're tuned in to Shift Happens Flower Power
Hour.
Music Hour. Anyway, my name is Jeff.
And I'm Anna.
And we have a very special guest. We very seldomly actually have someone join us for the first hour of the show because we really like to hog the selection of tunes.
But we've got a. And
watch it, woman. just be quiet, okay? Anyway, so we have in the studio with us the famous. Well, you want to introduce yourself, sir?
Well, you can call me Greg. You can call me J. Greg. You can call me J. Greg Walter. You can call me. Oh, sure, that'll do.
Just don't call you late for dinner.
Yeah, I usually eat late anyway, so.
All right, cool. All right, so. What we're going to be doing in today's show is 2 hours, and I'm really excited about this because I'm a real Woodstock fan because, well, I wasn't born in that time period, but I know I should have been. I should have been born much earlier in my days because everything about Woodstock is me. So we're actually going to be talking about your book in hour two. But in the first hour, we just want to get you guys all going and play some Woodstock tunage.
Right on.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to start out with, well, I don't know. I'm thinking about my friends when I'm about to play this tune. It's by Joe, and you'll figure out the rest.
Sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do
you
all I need is my brother.
I'll help
I say I'm gonna get high. Tell no insane no more. Gonna get out of that
friend.
Yeah, 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 I'm gonna try. Keep on getting out.
Do you need anybody?
Someone to love. And it happens all the time, yeah.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but it's so free. feels like mine. Don't you know I'm gonna make it with my friends? I promised myself I'd get by. Said I'm gonna try it with them too.
Cannonball now to take me down the line.
A bit of CCR, Green River, from the album Green River.
And before that, the band, The Wait. Mm-hmm. And we've been sitting here being regaled by Greg about stories about the band and CCR. So share it with the audience.
Well, CCR was particularly cool. They played very early Sunday morning, and they followed the Grateful Dead set. And when they came out after about a 40-minute pause, they were just such clean, clear rock and roll, and people just started dancing, and it was just excellent. And I unfortunately missed the band that night because I left the site at about 2 o'clock Monday morning. I'll go into that in the next segment as to why. But I did get to know Levon Helm a bit in his later years at his home in Woodstock, New York. And they used to hold these things called the Bramble every Saturday night. And a number of people would show up. And one night, Billy Bob Thornton was the guest. But the next time I was there was when I was with doing a documentary with NBC Dateline on the Woodstock Festival. And they had John Prine as the guest.
Oh, cool.
And, listening to John Prine and Levon Helm sing Peabody's Train was enough to just do it in. But Levon, he had some medical issues and actually dropped out of the business, and then a bunch of people got together and encouraged him to get back in, and managed to buy a really nice sort of farmstead type of place in Woodstock, New York. And then they started holding these rambles. And
cool.
So I met him about six times, and such a sweetheart. I mean, Levon was just one of those really genuine people that just did not carry the ego at all. He just was a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
You always gravitate to those. So do you have something that you want to play on it, or?
Well, I'm loving the music so far.
I'll play some Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
And Young.
And then Sly and the Family Stone.
That sounds cool by me. So we're about to hear Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard.
Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other. Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not grieving.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard.
Tearing yourself away from me now. You are free and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do, that's forever. Yes, and for always.
I am yours, you are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard.
Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard. And you make it hard. And you make it hard. And you make it hard.
You've
got to lose.
Scott from Canary, Ruby Throated Sparrow. Sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the voices of the angel ring around the moonlight, asking me, said she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow? They see lilting Lamente. Change my life, make it right, be my lady. Do 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 do
So you're in the middle of a shift happens, flower power music hour.
Not quite sure what that was about.
Well, I'm just in the spirit of Woodstock.
Oh, okay. That's
Oy. It. Anyway, we have our special guest.
Greg Walters in the studio.
J. Greg, isn't it?
No, you can call me Greg.
All right.
And we just wanted to bring everybody's attention to the fact that Greg is going to be doing a book discussion about his book, The Original Woodstock Festival, and all of the photos and stories he has to tell. And I was reading somewhere you're also going to be talking about social activism and...
That's right. Some of the aspects of the counterculture and the subculture, and we'll discuss more of that in the next hour, you know, as to why I included certain things in the book that
right.
have to do with the culture as well as just the festival.
Okay, so that's going to be happening at the Hume on December 6th.
Mm-hmm, a week from tomorrow.
What time?
Doors are at 5:30, and the presentation starts at 7.
Perfect.
And if it's your butt in the picture, you can win money.
Actually, that if you read the fine print,
oh yeah,
that contest expired.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
You didn't want to dish out $5,000?
I really did not.
No? Okay.
Not for somebody's butt. And,
all right.
And we'll explain that later, too.
All right, cool. So anyway, while we were listening to the tunage, we were discussing how...
Great, the music was.
Yeah, and no offense to modern artists. I mean, I guess we're modern artists ourselves, but... There was a magic to the music of that time period, and it hasn't been successfully mimicked. And
well, it was partly because it wasn't mimicable.
Well, yeah. And so what are your thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, I think there was two contributing factors. One was that the music and the musicians were really expressing what the culture was at the time,
mm-hmm.
and the subculture, for want of a better word, felt that the music was ours. We, you know, the music was coming from ours.
Right.
And it was not, at the time, anywhere near as corporate controlled as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after Woodstock, a lot of the big companies realized how many people were actually interested in this rock and roll, new age sort of rock and roll
devil's
phenomenon.
Music.
Yeah, some people called it that, but mm-hmm. the industry didn't care. They just after the money. And so I think a lot of the artists that got signed in the 60s would not have gotten signed in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I think that's still true,
mm-hmm.
that there is a lot of really good artists, especially I noticed it here in the Kootenays because I do record production, and they're not going to get signed by mm-hmm. the record labels. The record labels are looking for postage stamp type stuff. It's actually moved more into the Bugsy Berkeley song and dance type of things.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, all of that dance,
yeah.
song and dance
yeah.
type of things. And like I say, even Frank Zappa didn't feel he could get signed. And a lot of people did get signed back then that were really, truly creative. And the onus was not to have to sell millions and millions of copies. The record labels were actually quite happy to sell a few tens of thousands. And
right.
So it lowered the threshold. And I think that, and also the commitment of the artists to be artists, to express art as
yeah.
opposed to expressing something that is commercially viable and crafting
right.
the tunes so it's all snappy and
how many downloads of your product. I love that term, product.
Yeah.
You've worked on a tune that you would think is near and dear to your heart and soul, but eventually it just becomes
product
that yeah, people pay for.
I can empathize with the artist. I have had an opportunity to be around some of the major artists, NSYNC and Black Eyed Peas and a few of those in recent years, and they are pretty much beholden to the record companies
yeah.
and management
yeah.
to craft these songs.
Yeah.
And I think they do the best they can to be expressive. And so it's not a wash, but it's just I think what you were touching on was the plethora, the amount, the great
yes.
amount of quality, heartfelt music that came out of the 60s that you don't see as much. And I would lay a lot of the blame not on the musicians. I would have to lay it on the corporate structure.
Yeah, I mean, they're still out there. It's just they're sort of drowned in a sea of drivel. Even the musicians, I have a friend who's a music manager, and when she gets a musician that I consider to be really talented signed, then suddenly there's so many requirements for them to write in a particular way that it ends up
even
diluting
down,
what they're doing.
Even down to, like you were saying, okay, she signed Duane Steele, and he had to get skin grafting on his face because when he was a teenager, he had acne, and so he had to have surgery done, and that was part of his contract.
Dermabrasion, yeah. They required him to get plastic surgery.
That's right. Yeah, I can imagine that. And also they picked their own producers, as opposed to letting the bands produce themselves more or be more interactive with the groups to allow them the expression. So I think that's a lot of it. But like I say, I run across an awful lot of very innovative music, but 99 times out of 100, it's not going to make the commercial threshold.
Right.
It's simply because of the way it's set up. Now, fortunately, in Canada, we do have the CanCon thing, 35%. Even on our radio station here, we have to play Canadian content. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of innovative music comes out of Canada and ends up going to the States and replanting itself down there, which is a really wonderful thing. But it's an uphill fight, especially because there's no money in album sales anymore. So it's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
But to all you musicians out there, especially songwriters, just write from your heart. And it's more important, I think, the value of your song than in real worth than in monetary worth in the end. I know that's hard to think of when you're going to the grocery store, but just take it to heart that you're doing the right thing.
Well, speaking of from the heart, I would like to play a tune that was played at Woodstock, or at least on, I believe, the official list. And it's Tim Hardin, If I Were a Carpenter.
Well, I just tuned it for another song that I'm about to play for you. It's called If I Were a Carpenter. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? And if a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I made, following behind me? If I work my hands in wood, would you still love me? You answer quickly, Tim, I could. How could you above me? Save my love for loneliness, save my love for sorrow. I've given you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. If I were much poorer than you seem to see me, how could I be surer you could really love me? Yeah. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? And if I were a miller at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blouse, your soft shoes shining? Save my love for loneliness, save my love for sorrow. I've given you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. I've given you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow.
Oh, if you blink, you can miss it. something you can miss it. You can miss it. There's a moment.
Sweet
song.
Back there.
So you're listening to Shift Happens Flower
Power.
Power.
Music Hour.
Music Hour.
Right on, man.
Yeah. So we have Greg in the studio with us, and he said that he wanted to say something about the incredible string band.
Oh, just a
that we just heard.
Factoid out there for all you factoid type people, and we are discussing the Woodstock Festival, and in the book that was published that I wrote, in the back cover, if you ever get a hold of one, is the actual list of performers that played at Woodstock in order. And according to the curator of the Woodstock Museum, it is the only printed schedule that is correct.
Ooh.
And the reason that is that the Incredible String Band was supposed to play on Friday night. But you had to use some electric instruments, amplifiers or something.
Right.
Everybody else was completely acoustic, and we did not have electricity together
right. On
Friday night. So they bumped them to Saturday. And Incredible String Band, one of my favorite bands, very acoustic, very down home. And they ended up having to play after Santana and before Canned Heat. Now, Santana, we had never heard before, and he and his band completely blew the place apart, and everybody was in a state of shock after that almost. And so the poor Incredible String Band come up and go, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And basically, it didn't work out that good. But anyway, a little factoid for you there. But they were supposed to play Friday night, and they couldn't. So
and wasn't it? Was it raining Friday night?
Yes,
it yeah, was. So they couldn't play anything electrified either?
Well, the stage crew hadn't quite got it together to get electricity up there onto the stage
okay. At
the right time, and that they were scared. And somehow by the next day they managed to get some plastic bags and extension
right. Cords
or something. I don't know.
You got to get creative.
I was doing stage security, not stage management, so I just kind of watched from the side and kept my fingers crossed most of the time.
Well, you had mentioned Canned Heat, so I think it's appropriate at this time to play some Canned Heat going up the country.
Thank you. God.
So you've been listening to Shift Happens Flower Power Music Hour. My name is Jeff.
And I'm Anna.
And we had...
Greg.
J. Greg. I like J. Greg.
Well, that's a good thing.
Anyway, so stick around for hour two because we're going to be discussing all the details of Woodstock, at least as he remembers it, in spite of all the drugs and alcohol. Anyway.
I was straight, man.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Everyone said that, didn't they?
No, but I was working, so it's different.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally
get
that.
You can't do security being stoned.
There you go. Anyway, so we will be back, so hang on to your hats.